coming to you from the bottom of Lake Agassiz. Welcome to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Dougler. No, I know spring isn't right around the corner. I should properly introduce myself. I'm Doug Lear. I'm a biologist for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm a former game warden. I am a native of North Dakota. I was born in Williston. I was raised in Lemoore, graduated from high school in Valley City, and lived in many other places across North Dakota. I started my career as a private lands biologist after graduating from North Dakota State University. Private lands biologist in Stanley for Ducks Unlimited. Then became a game warden for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department stationed in Botno. And then in West Fargo, and then transitioned into becoming an outreach biologist. So that's a little bit about me. The program, the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, we bring you some topics of the outdoors, some conversational. I think of it as an outdoors radio magazine type thing. And as I was mentioning about what February, with the anticipation, the days are getting longer. February, the shortest month of the year. Thank God for that. Days are getting a little bit longer, and you know that March is when we can start really, really smiling a little bit bigger and deeper. If you're like me and enjoy open water fishing much more than ice fishing. I don't mind ice fishing. I just prefer, probably because of my younger kids, that it's a lot easier to run out and do some fishing at the snap of a finger than it is to go ice fishing. But it's all just a matter of perspective. When we talk about fishing, Scott Gangle is a fisheries biologist, fisheries manager with the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, and he joins us on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Scott, let's talk about some ice fishing regulations, some differences in the wintertime versus the summertime.
Most of the rules from summer to winter are the same, the limits and stuff like that, but there's one big difference in the number of lines that you can use. When you're fishing in the summertime, you're limited to 2 poles per person. In the wintertime, you can have up to 4. In the wintertime, since you're limited, it allows you to spread out a little bit more and have an extra opportunity to fish with more lines. You know, a line would be a fishing pole, a tip up, or if you're dark house spearing and fishing at the same time, your spear is considered a line too, because that's one way that you may take a fish.
So you can use 4 lines for ice fishing, and tip ups and spears are each counted as what would be considered 1 line for taking fish. Let's talk about the size of the hole when we talk about the traditional ice auger of 6 to 8 inches. Is there a restriction on how big your hole can be?
Right. A few years ago, we got rid of the restriction on the hole size that you could fish out of. For the first few years that we had dark house spearing, you weren't allowed to fish out of your spearing hole. You had to have a separate hole outside of your shack or alongside the hole. There was a lot of people that wanted to be able to jig in their hole while they were waiting for a pike to come in, and after weighing the options, we decided that was okay. You can still only have 4 lines, and your spear does count as a line. So as long as you're jigging, you know, your spear is another line, and you're jigging with 3 or less lines. Now, as far as the size of the hole, there is no limit on the hole size. But there is a requirement that you have to mark the hole when you leave. So anything over 10 inches needs to be marked. You don't see the 12-inch augers anymore, but it, for people that do still have them, we require that you mark your hole when you leave so that nobody runs the risk of putting a boot in, or even little kids were at risk of
sure.
going down pretty deep in some of those. So.
Fisheries biologist Scott Gangle is our guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Scott, let's talk about fish catch and release, because there's a lot of places where anglers are catching smaller fish, and we emphasize catch and release. But if someone wants to make that determination, if they want to keep the fish or if they want to release the fish.
Right. Our rules, that's the same rules we have in the summertime. If you catch a fish, you have to make the decision whether to keep the fish or release it immediately. And it's really important in the wintertime, especially if you're fishing and it's cold and you're outside, if you don't have a shack, or if you're fishing a tip-up outside or something. You want to get that fish in the water as quickly as possible so it doesn't freeze the eyes, the gills, or any other body parts.
Scott, in the summertime, we don't allow people to transport fish back home in their live well. They can keep them in the live well while they're on the water. And in the wintertime, you know, anglers like to keep their fish in the water if it's not frozen, kind of a deal. How does that work?
That's right. And that's another one of those regulations that's similar to the summer regulation. While you're fishing on the water, you can have what may be a lake live well. So you can keep your fish fresh. If you don't want those fish to freeze on the ice or whatever, you can keep them alive. You can put them on a stringer and drop a stringer down your hole. You can put them in a bucket or whatever, but you can't transport that water back home with you. And just like in the summertime when you have to drain your live well, you have to have those fish outside of out of water. And that's that regulation, you know, the regulation on transporting of water does two things. Number one, it prohibits the transport of live fish, where people in the past were what we call cream can stocking, putting fish in places where they're not necessarily wanted, and doing that illegally. That kind of cuts down on that, but it also prohibits the transport of water in order to cut down on the risk of transporting aquatic nuisance species. And just to be consistent from summer to winter to whatever, it's the same rule applies all the time. Now when it comes to bait, you know, we realize that we have to allow some exceptions just to make sure that anglers are still able to bring live bait onto the water. So you can transport live minnows in water in a container that's 5 gallons or less.
Trust me, Scott, as you and I both know, many anglers want to do the right thing. They don't want to transport aquatic nuisance species from one body of water to the next. They sure don't want to get a ticket for doing something illegally. How is the best way? What can you do to transport fish back home? Scott Gangle with that answer to our question when we return on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. Scott Gangle is a fisheries biologist for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. If you missed the first part of the program, don't worry, it's podcast. Thank you to Bob Harris for podcasting the program for us. But we explained some of the rules and regulations that differ from summer fishing to winter fishing. You can use 4 lines in the wintertime. Some of the similarities about transporting fish in water, those are the same from summer and in winter. You can't legally transport your fish home in water back to your house like you'd be doing with a live well. But Scott, what is a way that anglers can transfer? How would you do it? I guess there's probably a better way to do that.
When you leave the water, you need to, or when you leave the ice, I should say, you need to dump the water out of your bucket. You can put snow in the bucket to keep your fish fresh, or it may insulate them from freezing if you don't want them to freeze on the way home, and it'll keep them fresh. And if that snow does melt, that's not classified as lake water, at least. So there's a fine line there, and most of the time the snow isn't going to melt, but the game wardens, they can discern that.
With the expanse of ice fishing to sloughs, reservoirs, lakes all across North Dakota, more and more activity, but unfortunately at times that can lead to more and more trash and waste and disposal that's being done across. Like, as you know and I know, it just gives us all a bad name, and it's not something that we like to dwell on, but we have to talk about it, don't we?
Well, there's some rules on the books about dumping fish, leaving fish or fish parts on the ice, and minnows isn't, you know, you're not allowed to dump any kind of fish, whether it be a fish that you caught and didn't want to keep, or whether it be minnows that you're not going to take home with you or whatever. You can't just dump them in the hole, and you can't just dump them on the ice. That's just, first of all, it's litter and it's unsightly, and second of all, you can't dump your bait down the hole because that's illegal too. So what you need to do is if you don't want your bait anymore, you have to take them off the ice and dispose of them properly. It's unsightly, it's not environmentally safe, and it's not pleasant when you go out to a lake and you're looking forward to fishing there, and you see that other people have been there before you and there's all kinds of garbage laying around. Nobody wants to see that.
Fisheries biologist Scott Gangle is our guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. Let's talk about the legalities and the regulations of cleaning fish on the ice while you're fishing, Scott.
Yeah, and this is something that I like to do too, because I don't like to have the mess to clean up at home, so I like to fillet them right there on the ice. There again, you can't leave the carcasses on the ice, you can't dump them back down the hole or anything like that, so you have to be prepared to take that stuff home with you. And what I usually do is I'll bring some old grocery bags or something, put the skeletons, the skins, the carcasses, and whatever in those, tie them up and take them off the ice with me, and I'll just throw them away when I get home. And then I package the fillets so that if you're stopped by a warden, they can tell the species and the number of fish that are in that bag. And so two fillets will count as one fish, and they need to be packaged so that if the bags do freeze on the ice, let's say you're out there for a while and they freeze, they need to be able to tell how many fish you have in that bag. If they're not frozen, you know, they can pull them out and see, but sure. If they are frozen...
Scott Gangle is our guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. And Scott's a fisheries biologist, fisheries manager for the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. We've gone through some of the rules and regulations. And if you've missed any of it, you'd like to hear it clarified, the program is podcast. And then also you can check out the Game and Fish Department website and review some of these rules and regulations. One thing, Scott, that we've seen really bust and boom, I didn't say bust, probably boom more than bust, is the amount of people that spend entire weekends out on ice fishing. Guys like me, like a 5-gallon pail and go out there for a couple hours and ice fish. There's other folks that are willing to drive hours and a half a day, and they get on the ice on Friday and they're not coming off the ice until Sunday. Whoa, hold the phone. Some rules and regulations on your daily limit, when it starts, what it is.
Right, and we do see that quite a bit in the wintertime where people will go out one day and fish the whole week, and they might go on a Friday afternoon and fish until Sunday afternoon. And the definition of a daily limit in our regulations is a limit of fish that's caught from midnight to midnight. And so you can only harvest one daily limit per day. But if you're out there more than one day, you can have up to a possession limit in your possession, but you can't have them with you on the ice. So there again, it's kind of like if you're out on the water in a boat and you catch a limit of fish, you can't have more than your daily limit while you're actively fishing on the water. And the same thing applies to an ice house. And you know, we had to come up with some definition of what do you do with your fish if you have a limit of fish and you want to keep fishing after midnight, or you want to keep harvesting fish after midnight. Well, then you either need to take them off the ice, reduce them to take them home and come back, or even so much as a cooler on shore, which I don't know how many people think about it, but as long as you're taking them off the ice so you don't have them in your possession while you're actively fishing. I mean, you can't just go and stash them in your car 30 feet away, because if a warden does come out and check you, they don't know if you just caught those fish an hour ago or 12 hours ago. So if you take them off the ice, at least you're making that effort to get them off the ice. And that, there again, it's similar to summertime. If you have a camper, if you're camping on shore and you're out fishing for the day, you can leave your fish in the camper. Obviously, it's illegal to go back out and catch two limits in a day, and you can't do the same thing in your ice house. But as long as you take them to shore or somewhere else, away from you, off the water, off the ice, you can do that.
Let's go back and reinforce the midnight to midnight. It doesn't matter if somebody started fishing at 3 a.m. If they catch their limit of fish by 6 in the morning, they're done until midnight. It doesn't matter if somebody starts at noon and says, well, I just started fishing at noon, I should get from noon until noon. It doesn't, that's not the way it works, is it?
No, it's midnight to midnight, and the definition is the same no matter what.
One last question. Let's go through the possession limit.
Possession limit is how many fish you can have while you're out on a fishing trip. So, for instance, if you're from out of state or if you're going to the lake for the weekend, a lot of guys will go Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, that's 3 days. So if you're out walleye fishing, you can have 10 fish in your possession. And that's something else to keep in mind. If you're taking those fish off the ice and putting them in a cooler, you need to make sure that you don't exceed your possession limit as well.
Well, Scott, I appreciate your access and your insight and the information you provided our listeners on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. As I mentioned, folks, this program is podcast. So Bob Harris has you set up so you can go back and listen to this again. Still to come on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live, a Minnesota Outdoors update with CJ Johnson. But next, it's Pat Stockdale with a Central Dakota Outdoors report on the mighty 790 KFGO. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. And still to come on this weekend edition of Outdoors Live, we'll get you updated with the Minnesota Outdoors with CJ Johnson. He's a regular feature on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. We will also be, well, just here in just a couple of seconds, we're going to get you connected with Pat Stockdale with a Central Dakota Outdoors report. A few things that I wanted to clear up. The spring snow goose season is open in North Dakota. No, there's no birds here yet. I guess if you wanted to tell your spouse, your wife, or your significant other that you're heading out snow goose hunting, that is legal. The spring snow goose season is open. The birds aren't here yet. The season will continue through May 18th. It's a good idea to get some of the paperwork done right now. Get your HIP number, harvest information program number, get that taken care of right now. And then you'll be set to go when the birds do arrive. You can use last fall's license if you'd like. You can re-license by your combination license, your sportsman's license. Now the price did go up. It's a $50 bill for residents to get a sportsman's license. Should also make note that this is the first year of a new three-year boat registration period. Renewal notices were mailed the backside of December. If you haven't got a renewal notice, if you moved or you misplaced it, you can renew online or you can contact the Game and Fish Department in our Bismarck office. Not right now. Wait till Monday morning about 8:05. Give people a minute to sit down and open up the phone lines. But your boat registration also increased as well. Legislation in the last session in North Dakota, the North Dakota legislative session, increased license fees across the board. And that includes your boat licenses. So anything with a motor on it, 16 feet in length, goes from $12 to $18. From 16 to 20 feet, goes from $24 to $36. These are for three-year renewals, and the big ones, the 20 feet and longer, go from $33 to $45. So your registration cycle began January 1st. Once you're registered, that'll remain until the 2017 calendar, so December 31st, 2016. Speaking of dates and deadlines, well, let's connect with Pat Stockdale with a Central Dakota Outdoors report. We've got her on the line, and she connects with bait shops, resorts, give you a little better idea of the outdoor recreation that is going on. You read her work in Minnesota Outdoor News, Dakota Country Magazine, and she joins us each week. Pat, what's cooking outdoors this week?
Welcome to the Central Dakota Outdoors Report, a look at fishing and outdoor activities throughout eastern North Dakota and the Missouri River system. Anglers working Devil's Lake are finding their best success when they move around a bit to locate the perch schools. Try East Devil's Lake, the Towers, or Black Tiger Bay. Work structure in 20 feet with the fish moving shallower recently. Lake Irvin is good for pike with some walleye mixed in. The best walleye bite is in the morning and evening in 10 to 15 feet working structure throughout Devil's Lake itself. Jamestown Reservoir is fair for crappie and perch, but I don't have reports from our other mid-sized reservoirs. Small southeastern and south central area lakes continue receiving the most angler attention, with perch active in deeper water. Success could vary from lake to lake across Richland, Sargent, Ransom, Lemoore, and Barnes counties, though. Try jigs, Swedish pimples, or a basic hook tipped with a minnow head, perch eye, or waxworm. Look for a decent late-day walleye bite in shallow water around 10 feet as well. There, you'll want to try actively jigging spoons tipped with a minnow head or minnow below a bobber. Use extreme caution on the Cheyenne, James, Red, or other area rivers, with many reservoirs being drawn down for the coming spring runoff. Ice could be unstable. The Missouri River remains quiet, although a few anglers are fishing around the Hazleton boat ramp south of Bismarck Mandan. Lake Audubon walleye continue biting, working in a variety of depths and locations. And the east end of Lake Sakakawea has some walleye and pike success. Again, anglers are working a variety of depths and locations, including back in the bays themselves and out in deeper water on the main lake.
Ah, yes, great stuff, great stuff. And that reminder, a reminder stands, whether it's from Pat Stockdale, from Doug Lear, or anybody else, that once the calendar gets closer to March, even with extensions on your auger, with 30 inches of ice around a lot of places, the reservoirs can start to sag on the drawdowns. When reservoirs start to draw down, Lake Ashtabula, Brewer Lake, Dead Cold Creek, wherever you're at, and rivers below them get extremely dangerous with more water flowing through them. The ice sags on top of them. Whatever level of caution you exhibit normally on ice, when you go on rivers, triple it, quadruple it. Ice on rivers in the wintertime can be safe, but it can be more dangerous than just about anything else. So please, please be extremely cautious when you head outdoors, enjoying some of your time ice fishing. And don't forget to get the youngsters signed up for hunter education classes. They are filling up as we speak. CJ Johnson updates us on the Minnesota outdoors. He is the next guest on the weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. And welcome back to the last hole to drill for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm your host, Doug Lear. CJ Johnson is on deck, queued up, and he's ready to join us. I should mention as well that the latest numbers coming out from Minnesota DNR on moose population, it's not as bad as it had been. From the Minnesota DNR aerial surveys, the statewide moose population estimate is at 4,350. In 2006, it was at 8,840. Yeah, that's about half of what it had been. But compared to last year's estimate was 2,760. Some wildlife managers are saying that last year's survey was off a little bit because of poor survey conditions, not enough snow for the moose to see, so you can't count them as easy. So regardless of why, it's good to see that the moose population isn't as bad as it was last year, as bad as it had been, but continued concern when the research data shows that moose mortality for calves in the first year is 74%. You are not going to grow a population when 74% of your moose calves aren't making it through the first year. Adult moose is at 21%. So in some way, shape, or form, you can look at a mortality rate of 90-some percent for moose in Minnesota. That is not good news. Now it's time to take a closer look at the outdoor recreation, the fishing activity across the lake regions of Minnesota. And when we do that, we call on our good friend CJ Johnson. He is a Lisbon, North Dakota native and spent his career covering the outdoors. And each week he connects with us to give us a little better idea of what's going on across Minnesota. CJ, thanks for joining us. How's things looking outdoors this week?
Well, not too bad. We've still had these ups and downs that we've had all winter long with weather and snow and ice and slush, whatever it might be. But what the heck? It doesn't matter. If you go fishing and you dig a hole in the ice and you find something coming up on your line, you don't hurt anymore. So let's take a look around the state here. Tommy Newstrom, he says a winter grip has been pretty tough in the area of Big Winnie. That's Winnebagoches, by the way. But for the hardy souls to chase the fish in the winter, the conditions are improving right now. The south shore of Winnie is at the most accessible area of the lake right now, mainly along the bars such as Big Muskie and Sankole, and the break along the east side near Moxie's, if you've ever been there, has the best chance for walleyes and perch, by the way. Also, the west side at Ravens and Center Bar have been giving up walleyes and perch in good numbers, too, by the way, on Big Winnie. Smoky Hills Outdoors up in Park Rapid says things are warming up, so is the fishing in that area. Walleyes have been moving deeper and deeper, as is usual, and they're being caught all the way down to about 60 feet right now. Now, this trend will continue until the sun has enough power to start eroding more of that snow cover, and it gets lighter there. But using a rattle spoon has been catching the eater-sized walleyes with just a plain hook as well, as long as this, use a hook sinker, maybe a rainbow minnow if you can find them this time of year. They're catching everything 5 pounds and plus right about now. Paul Nelson over in Bemidji reminds anglers the season in Minnesota closes for walleyes, northern pike, and other game fish species at midnight Sunday. Now, for the most, that's for most inland waters of Minnesota. The 2013 Minnesota fishing license expires February 28th. Mark it on your calendar, 2014. It's a day away, and you need a new, brand new license beginning on March 1. Licensed anglers in Minnesota are allowed fish year round, by the way, for panfish and some rough species. That includes the species like crappie, sunfish, perch. Also includes less fished species like whitefish, tulipies, and eel pup, by the way. That's a big festival all by itself. But anyhow, Paul says panfish action has really been picking up in the Bemidji area. Rainier Lakes area, Jeff Anderson over there says walleyes in most of the lakes have slowed down again. That's somewhat normal this time of year, by the way. Walleye's been moving a little bit deeper, 25 to 35 feet there. He says he was a jig and a chubby darter, or a jigging spoon, such as a clam blade spoon, but have the set lines tipped with shiners or fatheads right next to you because you're really not sure what you're going to get at this time of the year. Jamie Hanton over in Otter Tail Lakes Country says the lake's crappies and sunnies can be found at 10 to 15 feet with crappie minnows right about now. Panfish bites slowing just a bit because they're under the influence of the active pike, so they kind of hide themselves a little bit this time of year. Northerns can be found along the weed lines. They're now about 15 feet, and they're picking them up with some sucker minnows right now. Becca Arndt, Detroit Lake, she says, well, again, remember, Sunday, tomorrow, at midnight, marks the end of the inland water season for walleye and northern pike especially. Panfish action will continue after the weekend in the Detroit Lakes area, as they still have plenty of ice, and weather leans towards a long ice season. She expects to be walking on that hard water all the way into early spring and just prior to next year's big opener again. Well, and Doug, you know, on a totally unrelated subject, my wife and I were recently discussing our years together. In fact, this December 5th, we've been married 50 years.
Wow.
And I remember my mother-in-law a few years ago asking me when my wedding anniversary was, and I said, yeah, you know, I think it's either, you know, my memory's not great. It was December 5th or December 7th. She said, well, December 7th was the beginning of the Second World War. And I said, well, I knew it was the start of some battle. But seriously, my wife said she always wondered one thing.
What's that?
Since our wedding day. She said, why did you insist that we get married at 8 o'clock in the morning?
Mm.
I said, well, I figured if it didn't work out, I wouldn't have to lose the whole day. Whoa. Remember, fishing's always great. It's a catching we got to work on.
Oh, man. My, oh, my. CJ, that is quite the tale there, my friend.
Well, you know, sleeping on the couch once in a while isn't too bad.
For 50 years.
You got it.
I appreciate your insight, the humor, and the stories as well. Thank you so much, CJ.
You bet.
Well, that's going to wrap things up for this weekend edition of Outdoors Live. A big thank you goes out to Bob Harris. He's the executive producer of the weekend edition of Outdoors Live. I will also remind you that if you missed an earlier segment of this weekend edition of Outdoors Live or something you'd like to hear again, it's podcast, thanks to Bob Harris, at kfgo.com. And the blog is up there as well with weekly updates from the outdoors in full text detail, also available at kfgo.com. You can email me. It's outdoorslive@gmail.com. And I'll be right back here Monday morning at 6:20 with an Outdoors Live update with myself and the Big Kahuna. Until then, I'm Doug Lear reminding you, as always, keep your lines tight and your powder dry. Have a great one out there.